So this is Thursday the 18th of August 2022. I'm John Nolden carrying out an interview on behalf of the Food Museum in Stowmarket. Good morning. Would you like to introduce yourself? Give me your name and, if you're happy to, your date of birth.
Yes, I'm Margaret Garrett and I was born on the 19th of July 1953.
And Margaret, whereabouts were you actually born?
I was born at Fong Farm, Grimston.
So you were born at home?
At home, yeah.
Okay, is that because it was normal in those days to be born at home, or sometimes would you have to have gone to the hospital?
I think it was normal to have a home birth if you could, unless anything drastically went wrong and then they took you to hospital.
Okay, and whereabouts did you grow up?
In Pot Row at Vong Farm.
Okay, and what are your earliest memories of when you were a child?
Just living on the farm and enjoying life. We used to help in the harvest field when we were smaller, and when we got that older, we would drive the tractors and go up to the combine and drive along with the tractor and trailer as they let the corn out, and then just enjoying life and living on the farm.
Did you have a push bike or anything like that? Did you go on your bike? Or?
I did have a bike, yes, and we used to go out for bike rides with friends and my brother, and long walks. We used to walk over the fields and down to the river, and my brother fell in the river one day. And we were so scared to go home and tell my mum, I made him take all his clothes off and hang them on the reeds to dry before he went home.
It was quite kind of normal to go swimming in rivers in those days.
Well, it was, yes, yes. But mum was a bit worried if ever we ever fell in a river. So we thought, oh, we better just sort of try and hide it. But she knew anyway, because the clothes were still damp when we got home.
So, yeah, in your time away from school, your parents were happy to let you just go out of the house and for the day?
Yes, we used to go, as long as they knew where we were going, they was quite happy to let us go out and about over the fields and play.
And which school did you go to?
I went to the convent in King's Lynn.
That's quite a distance from where we
seven,
are today.
7 miles away.
Was there not a village school, or was there a reason for sending you there?
Oh, the first school I went to was the Pot Row Primary, which is just across the road from here. And my grandmother was a teacher there. But I never knew my grandmother because she died before I was born. But I went to that school, and then when we got, I think it was 12 in those days, you went to a secondary school, and the secondary school was a convent I went to in King's Lynn.
So did you have to take what was called your 11 plus or anything like that? Do you remember?
Yeah, we took the 11 plus, yeah. And you could go to that. There was a high school and the grammar school, or the convent, which was sort of like a more private school.
And was that just a girls' school, was it?
It was girls and boys up into in the junior school, which I didn't go to, but I went to the senior school, and then it was all girls.
And were they happy times at school?
Yeah, very happy, yeah.
Were the teachers strict in those days?
They
could. You were naughty?
They could be. The nuns were stricter than what I thought they were going to be. But no, we had happy memories of school. It was nice going to school.
What kind of things did you get up to in break time?
We just used to play and they had a tennis court. We had to go at playing tennis and that sort of thing. Some of the girls was a bit naughty, and I know where my husband's laughing over there, because she was really naughty. And one day we had a speech day, and she hung a red bra on the flagpole and hoisted it up, and as all the parents were coming, there was this red bra flying over the convent.
And I guess because it was a convent school, that was probably frowned upon.
It was, definitely, yeah.
She
got in awful trouble for doing that, but that's the sort of thing she did.
And were there any kind of school outings that you'd have gone on?
We used to go to London. I think I remember rightly, we went on the Broads for a day, a school trip. That's the only ones I can remember going on.
And what did your father do for a living?
He was a farmer.
So yeah. Would he did he work for someone else?
No, for himself. Yeah, on farm.
And how many acres roughly did he?
Ooh, 100.
100 yeah. acres. Yeah. Okay. And was it an arable farm, or did they have livestock?
Arable more than livestock. Yeah, we did have some cows. We had two called Betsy and Sue. That were just for milk, but they were pets. And I had a sheep called Dinah, who was a pet, my pet sheep. That's where you see a lot of like sheep around down there and things.
Oh, yes.
Because yes. I love sheep, because I had a pet one.
Oh. But how come they bought you that sheep rather than, in those days, it was a kind of a valuable asset that they wanted to have eaten?
I honestly don't know. I think she came... as I think Dad's friend had her, and she was a bit naughty because she used to butt people, and I think he brought her down onto the farm so she'd got more room to, you know, walk about and hopefully wouldn't butt people. But she did used to butt. She played football, my brother and I, and she used to butt the ball into the goal.
Okay, and so you mentioned earlier on about doing some work on the farm. So was it mostly around harvest time?
Harvest time, school holidays.
And school holidays.
Yeah.
So you helped your parents out there then? You and your brother, you said?
My brother, and I've got an elder sister. But she didn't used to go on the farm much as my brother and I. There's 7 years difference between my sister and I, and 2 years between my brother and I. But unfortunately, he died early. So I haven't got my brother anymore, but yeah, we used to sort of be together more because of the age difference. Mm.
And what about sort of home life in terms of, you know, like cooking and food? Was your mum a good cook?
Yes, yeah.
What was your favourite kind of meals she used to do?
Well,
for
she
you?
Used to do, her cooking day was on a Friday, and my brother and I used to rush home from school on a Friday because if she had a piece of spare pastry left, she used to cook it up, and then we used to have treacle over it, which is very naughty now, but in them days it was really lovely. But you wouldn't eat that now.
So what else could she eat?
Oh, she'd cook roast beef and all the general sort of things. What was not so much pasta and that like we have nowadays. It was sort of the old-fashioned, like stew and dumpling, Yorkshire puddings, chips... all the foods we had then, you know, cold meat and salads in the summer because they didn't cook then, because she had an Arga type cooker. What you had the fire and then put the meat in one side, so that didn't used to go on in the summertime. So we had sort of more cold food then.
Did you kind of spend much time with your grandparents?
Yes. Well, I spent more time with my auntie, my mum's sister. I used to go to, she didn't live far away, and I'd spend a week of the school holidays with her and got thoroughly spoilt with auntie. But my grandparents, I suppose I did spend more time with my grandfather on my mother's side because his wife died early as well. So I just had a small memory of that grandmother because I was young when she died.
And were they arable farmers as well? Or?
No, he was retired. I think he worked at the local flax factory, didn't he? With your dad, yeah.
What did that involve?
Flax factory, picking flax, I suppose, and then it went off to be made into something else. I really don't know, but I think that's what it is. Yeah, and he was in the First World War in 1914-18. Be with the horses and take supplies and that to the front on the horses and the cart, yeah.
So would your father have been sort of raised after the Second World War, or would he did he have?
Well, that was my parent grandparents on my mother's side. Mm. My grandparents on my father's side started the butchers. It was Robert Coe that started the butchers, and we traced it back first of all to 1892 in an old Kelly's directory book, and then we've traced it back a bit further to 1888. Yeah, so the butchers started as Robert Coe in 1888, and Robert Coe was my grandfather on my father's side.
And has it always been in the same place?
Yes. Yeah.
And so there's been generations then who've run the butchers since
yes.
then?
Yes. Yeah, we're the fourth. We're the fourth generation.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have you worked, you haven't worked in the butchers
yes,
yourself?
Ever since I left school.
So is that your kind of first job?
It was, yeah. I was going to be a shorthand typist, and I'd been to typing school and get all my, you know, certificates to do that. And then in 1970, when the currency, new decimal currency came in, my father's brother, who lived here, was the butcher. That was Colin Elsiegood. My father was Roger Elsiegood, who was at the farm. They were partners in the business. And Uncle Colin, he wasn't married, anything, and he didn't want all the hassle of the new money, so we swapped. So Dad came from the farm down here, and Colin went to the from the butchers up to the farm.
Oh.
And we've been down here since 1970. So I've lived in this house more than I did at the farm, really.
And how long did you work for in the butchers?
Oh, well, I'm still working in it.
You are?
Yeah. Well, semi-retired now, because last year I had a little stroke, and as I was sort of told to sort of cut down a bit, but not cut everything out, keep busy. So we're semi-retired, but we're still working in the butchers.
Now, we gather there's a very special recipe that you have.
Aunt Aggie's?
Which is, I believe it's called pork cheese.
Yes.
Just tell me a little bit about
Aunt Aggie's pork cheese.
What is pork cheese?
Pork cheese is a pork hock which is boiled down until it gets almost like pulled pork these days. And then you mix all sorts. Well, it's a secret recipe, so we mix all the things in it, what we do. And it's been made since Aunt Aggie, which was my grandfather's sister, used to make it. And my dad was a little boy and lived here.
So is it a bit like the middle of a pork pie or something? Is it sort of?
It is that sort of texture, a bit finer than that. And it's all set in like a jelly.
So how would people eat that?
Well, in the summer they eat it sort of more because it's a cold dish. And you'd eat it with bread and butter. Some people eat it with the local sanfa that we get on the coast. Just things like that, pickles. It's a bread and butter thing with whatever you like, really.
So is it a good selling item still in the butchers?
Yeah.
It's a kind of well-known
yes.
local product, is it?
It is, yeah.
So, as you know, we're interviewing today as a follow-up to the original interviews carried out by Leeds University in 1957.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those people interviewed was Isaac Elsiegood. Can you tell me exactly how you're related to Isaac?
I'm related to Isaac through my father. He was my father's uncle, which makes him my great-uncle.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you ever meet him?
I can remember him, but only as a small child. I can remember he used to live in Grimston and come across the farm where I lived, across the fields, to help my dad on the farm. And I remember him as he looks on that photograph.
There's a picture in your fireplace of
yes.
him and his wife with their backs to us.
Yes, with his waistcoat and his sleeves up and I think I can remember him having a walking stick because he was getting quite old then. And that's how I remember Uncle Ike.
And so Ike as in Isaac
Ike,
then?
Yeah, okay. We used to call him Uncle Ike.
Oh, that's interesting. So how has the village of Pot Row where you live now, how's that changed over the years from when you were a child to today?
Well, firstly, there's a lot more houses now. The roads are a bit bigger than they were. A lot more people live here now. Some of the buildings are the same. There used to be a village pond just outside the butcher's here when we were at school. That was you weren't allowed to go near it or anything. But I think in the 1970s they filled it in because they said it was a bit of danger for children having a, although there was railings around it, having a pond at, on the village green with the school. So that was there, and that painting up there, the little church you can see on the painting up there, yes, was on the village green, but that's been pulled down now.
Why was that?
I think it was because not many people used it, and it was getting into sort of like falling apart, and that was pulled down now.
And is there still a village school?
Yes, that's still over there, over the, on the village green.
That's a primary school.
That's a primary school. Well, when I was there, you were there till you were about 11. Yeah.
So, have you visited it since?
I have, because our son went there, so I used to take him across there to school. Yeah, so.
And were there any other shops in the village that aren't here anymore?
Well, the shop over there, which is now the Pine Parlour, just across from here, that was a local grocery store. But that's now Pine Parlours. A load of the pubs that were here, that my dad used to talk about, they've gone. They're houses, private houses now. I think we haven't actually got a village pub in Pot Row now. Mm. And there used to be the one called the Tumbledown Dick, which was across the road here. I think there was one called the Farmer's Arms, down on the corner. Oh, there was three or four pubs about here, but they've all gone now.
Some people remember that as well as having a local shop to buy provisions from, you used to get people that delivered things or
yes,
knock on the door. Can you remember any of those?
Yes, I can. We used to have the baker call at the farm, the butcher, which was our relation. We used to have a man bring the oil for the oil lamp, because when my brother and I was small, we had a television, but it ran by a engine. Dad had to start the engine up to get the telly going, and so we used to have oil lamps as well. We didn't have any electricity up there at that point, and we had a generator. And Mum says, we used to call Dad, "Dad, come and start the engine," so we could watch Lone Ranger on the telly.
So yeah, it was. I guess you didn't have any central heating or anything.
No.
So how was that house heated when you were a child?
Well, it wasn't. Apart from coal fire, downstairs was warm, but you used to wake up with like ice patterns on the window when you was like small.
And what about kind of hot water?
My Mum used to boil a kettle to get hot water on the fire, you know, on the range thing, until we had the electricity and had the water put in. And that was when I was about 9 or 10, I think. And we used to have a tin bath by the fire with the hot water from the boiler.
But once a week kind of bath, was it?
Yes.
And what about the general area sort of outside of the village? I mean, you know, with the kind of wildlife and the countryside around here, has that changed much?
There was a lot more birds and things that there aren't now. I mean, we used to walk down the lane to come to school, my brother and I, down Vong Lane to come to school. And you'd hear skylarks and things like that, but I haven't heard them for ages. and the wildlife. We used to get foxes across the farm and that. I've seen foxes around here, so they're still about, but there are a lot of birds that aren't here now.
So if when you're a child again, if you wanted to go and visit another town, say King's Lynn or Norwich, how did you get about? Did your father have a car?
He had a car, yes. So we used to get about. We used to go to Hunstanton and to the seaside mostly, because Mum wasn't one for going out and about much. She just used to like being on the farm and, you know, with the children and that. If we had to go anywhere, he did have a car. Say we had to go to the dentist or anything, he'd take us to King's Lynn in the car.
Can you remember what it was?
Yeah, it was a... little Austin...
Austin A35, I
think. Yeah, little blue one. TNG505 was the number.
Funny how you can remember these registration numbers, isn't it? Yeah. I've noted in the village sign there's evidence there was a train line running through
yes.
Hot Row.
Yeah, I really can't remember that. I know the station was at Royden, the next village down the road, but I never used to use the train. I can't really remember that.
Okay. All right. That's super, Margaret. What we'd like to do now, if that's okay, is just move on to some dialect side of the project, mm-hmm. which the museum is interested in. Can you remember any words that your grandparents or your parents might have used that is kind of from a Norfolk dialect or something to describe things?
Well, my grandfather, who I was telling you about, who was in the First World War, his name was Elijah Benifer, and he used to call a cloth a dwile. And he'd say, and I remember spilling a drink at his one day, and I was sort of patting it there with a hanky, and he said, "Hasn't your mother ever taught you to use a dwile?" And I thought, "What's a dwile?" And he said, "It's a cloth, and you top that up, and then you wring it out, and you do it again. It's a dwile." And I hadn't heard of that till he told me what it was.
Neither have I.
A dwile. Yeah. How you spell it? Don't ask me. Whether it's dwile. I don't know. But that's what he called it, a dwile. And I asked the window cleaner that comes here if he'd clean the trophoms out. And he looked at me and he said, "I'm sorry, but I don't know what you're talking about. What's a trophom?" And I said, "Well, the thing that goes round the house." And he said, "What, the guttering?" I said, "Yeah, there's a trophom. That's what we call it down here in Norfolk, a trophom. Can you clean the trophoms out when you're up your ladder?" And so he did, but he didn't know what that was. And what was the other one I was trying to think of? Oh, one of my grandfather's mates used to say to him, "Keep a troshen, boy," whenever they'd finished speaking, which I think means keep well or look after yourself or something. I don't know, but that's what I think it means.
Okay. Well, how would you describe your own accent? Do you have a Norfolk accent?
Well, I think I do have a slight one, but not like Isaac had got. Mine's a bit... I suppose Isaac's was broad because they lived in one place and was with people, you know, who spoke the same, but with going to like King's Lynn to school and then you meet other people around, I think your accent changed.
Would that started when you went to the convent school? Did they teach you kind of elocution?
I had elocution lessons at school, yeah. But I think I've still got a Norfolk accent. And my sister, she lives in St Albans, and she helps her daughter with the her children, and she taught her little grandson, little Lockie, to do bar bar black sheep, and he says little, not little, because she's taught him, and she's still got. She said, and they all said, "Oh, you're teaching in the Norfolk accent." Yeah.
Good then. Okay. We've just got I've got a sheet here now with some photographs on,
mm-hmm.
and I'd just like you to, when I find it, do you want me to do it, Robin?
Yes, okay. That's fine.
So it's just some pictures. And I just want you to say what you think these things are. There's no right and wrong. It's just trying to understand, because we're in different parts of the country, it might be said in a different way. So what would you describe that?
Well, I can't really see it there.
Let me put it there for you. Where's that one there?
Oh, it's a hedgehog.
Okay. And the one to the right?
Daddy long legs.
Okay. And that one there.
Oh, gosh.
It's only a small part of it. It's an insect.
Oh, I haven't got a clue what that is.
I think it's meant to be an earwig. Would you?
Is it?
Would you have called it an earwig?
I would have called it an earwig. Yeah, okay. They used to come and used to get them in the corn.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Earwigs.
Okay, and this kind of thing. Can you remember that?
I think that's
stuff that kind of grips to your
vetch. I'd call that vetch.
Vetch.
And it sticks to your clothes. It's got a little pink flower on it.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
And that. Is that a spider with a?
No, it's...
Oh no, it's a bushy benny bee.
Now, what would you say that is hanging on the edge when it might have been a damp morning?
Oh, a dewdrop.
Thank you. Okay.
I thought that was a little ladybird. Sweets.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So.
Oh.
They're made with wheat and flour and milk, aren't they?
Yeah, rolls.
Okay, that's great.
And scones.
Yes, that's good. And then a few more on that side as well.
Spring onion. Courting couple.
Okay. What we're looking for that one though is
boy and girl?
No, he's carrying her. What would you call that?
Piggyback.
Yep.
Seesaw.
Yep, that's great. Okay. Right, okay. Margaret, well, thank you very much.
That's all right.
I think we've kind of finished the interview there.
Yeah, okay, thank you.